Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is George Matusek, Assistant Managing Editor of the Catholic Review. We're here this week on Catholic Baltimore with Dr. McGraw-Edmondson and Jim Sellinger. Barbara is the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and she's also a former school principal here. Jim is the Chancellor for Education for the Archdiocese. They're here to talk about Catholic Schools Week, which is January 31st through February 6th this year. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, George.
So for those who may be unfamiliar with Catholic Schools Week, what is it and how did it come about?
Well, Catholic Schools Week is an event, really a week-long event, sponsored by the National Catholic Education Association. And it came about many years ago. I don't know the exact date of its inception, but it's really an opportunity for schools across the nation to step back and to really think about the Ministry of Catholic Education and the children and the families that they serve, and to make it a time of celebration and to say thank you to all those who commit themselves to the ministry. So Catholic Schools Week usually involves schools hosting special masses or liturgies, doing service projects, hosting special events for students or for teachers or for parents, and really just getting the great news out about Catholic education. It's also a time when we have open houses in our schools across the Archdiocese, and we welcome parishioners and prospective students and their families to come to Catholic schools and really see what it's all about. So it's an exciting time. The students especially look forward to it because there's always great student appreciation activities. Everything from, we're talking with a group of principals yesterday, so it's everything from going on a special field trip for students that day to going to a roller skating rink to just simply having a pep rally about the school. So lots of things happen, but there's a lot of excitement for the students, fun activities for them throughout the week.
That's great. Does Archbishop Laurie have any special plans for Catholic Schools Week?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Archbishop will be kicking off the week at St. Agnes's on Sunday. He'll be celebrating Mass at the parish, and then he's going to be actually going into the school, which is the parish and school are celebrating their 150th anniversary to inaugurate a new innovation lab that Julie Rogers, the principal, has established there. And then on Monday, Barbara and I, along with the Archbishop, will be out in Frederick celebrating Catholic Schools Week with all the schools in the Frederick area.
We would just love for our families that are in our parishes, as well as other families that may not be parishioners, to come and to visit our schools and to see our schools today. There are so many wonderful initiatives in our schools, and if they came during, especially an open house where students are there and they visited classrooms, they would just visit classrooms that were filled with students who loved their schools, who loved being a part of that community, and they would understand why Catholic schools are noted for their academic excellence and the experiences that they offer our students.
You know, and this year's theme around Catholic Schools Week is, you know, communities of faith, knowledge, and service. So parents and potential families that will attend a Catholic school can come into our schools and see firsthand all three elements of a Catholic education, that being faith, knowledge, and the service that those schools provide to their communities.
Absolutely. Seeing it is, you can hear about it, you can read about it, but seeing it is really tells a story.
How are our Catholic schools doing?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, Barbara and I are focused very hard on trying to grow enrollment across our Catholic schools. I mean, I think things are stabilizing. I currently feel that there's a lot of momentum out there. The number of applications and inquiries that we've had for next year's school year is up dramatically. And, you know, the team overall is focused on enrollment management, but also we're doing a much better job, I think, collectively, Barbara and I, of focusing on marketing our Catholic schools so people can gain an awareness of exactly what a Catholic education is all about.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the marketing efforts that you've undertaken?
We recently just rebranded our Catholic schools with the new Rise Above tagline and new logo for the schools. And coupled with that, that. We've got new advertising on WBAL and other news channels, even across the cable channel system, but also social media. We're rebranding with the rebranding initiative. We've driven new websites across our schools. So we're doing everything we can to communicate the value of a Catholic education and the importance of the values formation that our Catholic schools provide to our children.
What would you say are some of the top reasons to send a child to a Catholic school?
Well, not only from the conversations that we have with our families, with our students, and of course with the faculty and the administration of our schools, but we also had the opportunity before we began the branding initiative that Jim just spoke about, was to do our own market research to understand what families thought about Catholic schools. Not only our families who send their children there, but prospective families, Catholic families who might send their children to school, non-Catholic families who might consider sending their children to our schools. And what we found is that the perception of Catholic schools is very, very favorable, and it really validates what we know about our schools, that they are strong communities of faith, and so there's a strong value education there, that children who go to Catholic school learn to live a life well and what it means to be a citizen in a community and to provide service to others. Of course, then there is the academic excellence component. We recently were having a conversation about our standardized test scores, which always are very, very strong and exceeding those national standards and standards for students in the state of Maryland as well. And we looked at those ACTs and the ACT scores, and we saw that they were strong across the board, but one of the things that truly rises to the top is how strong our language arts programs are, both in our elementary and our high schools. And so what we see is these terrific scores, and what that really speaks to is that as our graduates leave and go on to college, they are prepared to tackle the college curriculum. We talk so much about college readiness right now, and so we have students that enter college as researchers and writers and all the things that are needed in the classroom to be successful, and then, of course, in terms of moving into to new careers.
I know last year Catholic schools made a big splash with the 3D printer program. How did that all come about, and what's been the impact of the 3D printers in the Catholic schools?
Well, I guess it's fair to say that our Catholic schools are not the Catholic schools that Barbara and I, attended back in the day. And the ability for us to, demonstrate our STEM technology in our schools and then leverage new technology into the classroom was one of the key reasons why we did it. Backed by a very strong grant from a donor, we wanted an initiative that could have, to be driven all across the entire school system, starting with, let's say, 13 schools. But the critical thing is not just putting technology into schools for technology's sake. You got to make sure you have a curriculum tied to it. So Barbara and I worked closely with a supplier that provided not only the 3D printing technology that leans into strong problem solving and creative work by our students, but we have a curriculum that underpins that that makes it even better for the students. It's not dissimilar today to see all kinds of advertisements around 3D printing, people doing prosthetics, people doing all types of things that we've never done before. So as I said, we started with 13 schools. We've just launched into another 17. So 30 of our 49 schools are up and running with 3D printing, and it's our intent to get the 3D printing initiative completed by the end of this school year.
How are the kids using those 3D printers in the schools?
Well, I mean, a lot of them are, I have to talk about St. Philip Neri, because they are kind of the foundational school that established this, but, they're using computer-aided design to actually do problem-solving. As I said, in the curriculum has elements like wind turbines and other aspects that kids have to do design work and test the effectiveness of their design with the curriculum. So they're using it for all different things. They're also leaning into doing stuff around robotics, so actually doing 3D printing of robotics components. So it's all about, George, it's all about problem solving. It's all about, getting the kids immersed into technology so that they're thinking about engineering careers down the road.
George, currently we have seven elementary schools that we have named about 5 years ago are STEM schools, and they work as a professional learning community and offer special activities and opportunities for their students. But the need for and the desire for having strong science and tech programs in all of our schools has really grown, and so now we're moving into that next phase where there won't be this select small group of seven schools, but we'll actually go through an accreditation process by an outside independent group called Advanced Ed, and they will come in and begin to evaluate our schools, and our schools will really seek to be accredited as STEM schools. And so coupled that with what I was saying about the language arts, it really kind of brings the curriculum full circle when you have strong science and technology programs, obviously religion as an integrated part of all, and then the language arts programs. I also wanted to mention that we have pre-K programs throughout the Archdiocese, and that's the same kind of thing. We're not only just have individual schools have them, but now we have collectively brought the principals together and said, we want to go through a validation and accreditation process. And there's something in the state of Maryland called Excels, and it's actually like a rating process. So we're all familiar with going online and going to a Yelp and saying, you know, give me the ratings on this particular restaurant or a five-star hotel or something like that that we're looking for. Same thing, that they are independently evaluated, that the Maryland MSDE, which is the Maryland State Department of Education, comes in and it looks at what is going on in these schools. It requires those teachers to continue in their professional education. In our pre-K-4 programs, those are certified teachers, early childhood certified teachers. But it will allow parents then to go online and really look at the ratings of these preschools. And, you know, we'll be very proud to say that we're sure that they will see that there are quality preschool programs across the diocese, regardless of where our families live.
That's great. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. We at the Catholic Review were wrapping up our coverage of the March for Life, which had an excellent turnout, by the way, when the first flakes began to fall on Friday, January 22nd. Snowmageddon, snowpocalypse, whatever you want to call it, we've heard Snowzilla bandied about. It was a remarkable storm with a remarkable aftermath. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Laurie issued a statement reminding parishioners that the Sunday Mass obligation is only in effect when the journey from home to church is safe. Nevertheless, many braved the conditions to darken the doors of their churches on Sunday, and many lent a hand to snowed-in pastors overwhelmed by the fluffy white stuff. Check CatholicReview.org to see how your parish and other parishes fared. As bad as the snow was, it's a good thing it occurred last weekend instead of during Catholic Schools Week, which starts today. In the Catholic Review February print issue, which should be out now, we have lots of coverage of our Catholic schools. Did you know that many of our high schools partner with Catholic colleges to enhance the educational experiences of our students? That St. John's School in Westminster and many of our other schools have top-notch technology programs, including 3D printing and robotics? That the Archdiocese has a team in place to respond to the worst kinds of crises? Read about these and more in our print edition, which also includes a special analysis on immigration and a visit with a couple who has been married for 73 years. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Eric Zygmunt.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only newspaper in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full time, the Catholic Review. The print newspaper can be delivered to your home every other Thursday, and you can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online at CatholicReview.org. Again, online, that's CatholicReview.org.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is George Matisek from the Catholic Review. We're back here on Catholic Baltimore with Dr. Barbara McGraw-Edmondson and Jim Salinger. Barbara is the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and Jim is the chancellor for education for the Archdiocese. Continuing our conversation, I know for many years we've been trying to get this business tax credit to help Catholic schools and also public school students. Could you explain what the tax credit is and how it will benefit students?
So let's go back to our previous conversation as it relates to, you know, some of the challenges that we face in growing enrollment in our schools. There's not a lack of demand for children who want to attend Catholic schools. In fact, you know, Barbara and I wrestle each year with the number of tuition assistance requests that come into the diocese. In fact, this year we had over $30 million worth of grant and aid requests that came into the diocese from some 7,000 children from 5,000 families. Well, one way to help address this issue is to get some help from the state. Many states around the United States have actually passed legislation that provide tax credits to scholarship assistance organizations that will help address the cost of tuition in the non-public school system. And even some states have actually gone into the vouchers to actually give us fixed amount of money that goes to families to send their children to non-public schools. You know, the state of Maryland needs a strong non-public system as well as a public school system. And for some 9 years, we've been working with the legislature in Annapolis to try and get tax credits passed. The tax credit legislation basically offers a tax credit to business organizations who give to scholarship assistance organizations. The legislation is written such that 60% tax credit is given to those businesses, but also these dollars that are given to organizations can only be used for non-public schools, but also public schools. The bottom line is, you know, Barbara and I face, you know, accelerated cost of running Catholic schools. And when we did our market research, you know, one of the key inhibitors for families sending their kids to Catholic schools, of course, is the cost of tuition. Some of it's perceived to be a lot higher than it actually is. You know, a lot of times people will associate a Catholic school to be a private school, and the actual cost of tuition is not necessarily as high as some of the private schools across across Maryland. In fact, our average tuition, Barbara, is probably in the $6,000 range across all our schools. So the key focus of the Archbishop, as well as Barbara and I and the rest of the team, as well as many business leaders, have been working hard to lobby delegates and senators inside of Annapolis to recognize the importance of non-public schools and the value that our Catholic schools provide to the children in the city of Baltimore, as well as the surrounding counties. You know, the key thing that our constituents could do that are listening to this broadcast is to help weigh in with their senators and delegates within their districts and the importance of this legislation to the health of the children. This is all about the kids. Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, the Catholic Center, or it's not about, or the Catholic schools, it's not about the Jewish schools, etc. It's about the children, because if we can make schools more affordable for these kids, they will be successful. Strong foundation in elementary school into middle school, high graduation rate out of our schools that gets them to high school and then on into a college. So if our constituents would weigh in with their senators and delegates, we'd have a lot better chance of getting this legislation through in this session.
You know, George, when we look at Catholic schools across the nation and we look at urban Catholic schools, because this is where some of the greatest need is financially, parents want to choose this for their school, for their students. They want to choose a Catholic education, but affordability is always the issue. What we find is that for students who attend Catholic schools, whether it be in the city of Baltimore, we're talking about Chicago, LA, whatever major cities, is that the gains that those students make in comparison to their public school counterparts is so significant. Even even greater so than if we look at students who attend school in the counties and their families might be in a different economic situation, not as challenged. Those students who go to schools, urban Catholic schools, really benefit from that experience on so many different levels, not just academically, but really in terms of our commitment to educating and nurturing the whole child.
You know, and we're very fortunate to have strong supporters from the business community as well as private donors that help us provide tuition assistance or grant and aid, as we affectionately call it here, grant and aid to families so they can attend Catholic schools. We give millions of dollars. I mean, the dollars that come in from our parishes as well as the donors, but only puts about 1/7 of the need that actually gets covered. So, there's a significant need out there. This is just another mechanism that would help us get more children into our Catholic schools.
You talked about some of the programs that Catholic schools offer. What kind of programming do the schools offer for children who might have special needs or learning disabilities?
In our elementary schools, we have a wide variety of resource services for students, but we have a particular program, it's called PRIDE. And the PRIDE program is located in three of our schools, St. Mark's in Catonsville, St. Clement's, which is in the Rosedale, the Baltimore area, as well as St. John's in Frederick. And that particular program is for students who may need additional supports and have instruction in a small, individualized setting. So those programs are available to families who are looking for an opportunity for students with special needs to attend our schools. But although there are three select programs, I would encourage families who have students who might have a special need or an individualized learning program to bring that to their local Catholic school and to really talk about what can be offered, because they'd be surprised by the number of resources that are there for students. We also have a wide array. We talk so much about our STEM program and our 3D program, but the co-curricular and extracurricular activities that we offer students are really strong in enrichment opportunity. And also in the classroom, we'll see in most schools where we will have higher level math classes, sometimes higher level language arts classes, and sometimes something that might even look like a flipped classroom where there's much time being spent on a computer and the teacher really plays the role of facilitator. So students are really engaged in some high level learning. So there's opportunities for students who need additional support as well as students who need additional challenges in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know both of you get an opportunity to visit students frequently. You're often in the schools. What do you see when you go to the schools? What impresses you about the kids and the teachers that are in our Catholic school?
Well, given my business background, a day in the school is better than a day in the office. But, it's just amazing to walk into one of our Catholic schools and see I hate to use the word calm, but there's calmness and there's respect. You just see happy children, which makes us happy. So the bottom line is, our Catholic schools are wonderful places where you see faith, knowledge, and service in real life. In this first 18 months that I've been in this position working alongside Barbara, it's just been a wonderful experience for me to be able to live and see what our Catholic schools are all about.
It's really hard to go into one of our Catholic schools. I had the privilege of serving as a principal for the Archdiocese of Baltimore for 10 years, and making a decision to become the superintendent of Catholic schools, one of the things that I had to leave behind was a building full of hundreds and hundreds of kids, and that is a true blessing. But I can say that when you visit one of our schools and you walk into a cafeteria, or you're on a playground, or you're visiting a classroom, not to be facetious, but you just kind of feel the love. The kids are there. They're free to be who they are, and they just love being in their school. They might not like homework, and I'm sure they're cheering for a snow day here or there, but they love their schools. When you talk to students, they love their schools.
It comes through very clearly.
Oh.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you both for being with us, and I'm sure it's going to be an exciting Catholic Schools Week, and we look forward to seeing what happens.
Thank you, George.
From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is George Matusek.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent, value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.